Blog Talk Radio.
Well, your dad's gum government, you sorry so-and-sos. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes. Well, your dad's gum, dad's gum, dad's gum government. Uh-huh. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Uh-huh. Well, your dad's gum government, you better pay attention. You're setting up there like a fool's convention. Will you get down, get down, get down, government? Uh-huh. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love me sometime? Uh-huh.
Well, welcome to Handling the Truth. This is Terry Dodd. I am also known as Tenacity, and I'm here tonight with my co-host, the Rebel Madman, a.k.a. Mike Getty. And he's just letting me know that he's calling back in here, and I'll be with us here in just a moment. Wow, what a day. Here in Colorado, we're faced with a Marxist governor who believes he has the authority to order people around and make them wear masks, and it's starting to really hit home because is now putting businesses at risk of losing employees if they don't want to wear their mask. And trying to get Mike hooked up here. And it's just been rather startling, actually, because, you know, I personally have a deviated septum and fully understand the hazards, the health hazards, severe health hazards of wearing a mask on a regular basis, and don't understand why more people have not stood up to this. But we're facing a real crisis in this country, particularly in states where there are these Marxist governors, and here comes Mike. Hello,
hey,
Mike.
Buddy.
It's been a crazy day. I'm sure you've seen what Mr. Polis has pulled here in Colorado.
Well, Asa Hutchinson did the same thing in Arkansas, and the governor of Alabama did the same thing. So it looks like it's a coordinated effort.
Well, it's putting people's livelihoods at risk, not to mention their health.
And, oh, they don't care, Terry.
Well, they'll care if one of them gets tarred and feathered and run out of a state on a rail, and that's exactly where we're coming to, isn't it?
Well, it should be, but I'm not sure there's enough people who actually care, Terry.
Well, it was only 3% of the people that cared enough to fight a revolution.
Well, that is true, but they had guts.
I'm sorry, I lost you.
I said that's true that there was, you know, 3% or less, but those people had guts back then, Terry. They hadn't been indoctrinated into a system of abject socialism for over 100 years.
Well, I know that you wanted to talk about this tax tsunami, and I'm kind of curious as to where you want to go with that. I really believe we need to take a pause here and open this thing with a prayer.
Go ahead, my friend.
I just don't know if I'm ready to do that or not. All right, I'll give it a shot here. Almighty Father in heaven, you have always, when I've been able to not forgive or not let something go, you've always been there for me to take it away from me and make it so that I can keep going and I'm just thankful that you're appreciative of our humanness and our weaknesses, and that you strengthen us when we need you. Father, I'm going to pray a prayer like David. You always appreciated his heart because his heart was always toward you, and that was, even though he did some sinful things and really some atrocious things that on occasion, you forgave him for that because you knew his heart. Father, I just pray you know our heart. And I pray, like David did, that you would squelch our enemies, that you would destroy them or help them destroy themselves. We're at a time, Father, when people don't care about other people. They're so wrapped up in their own agendas and their false beliefs and their worship of Lucifer and self. And, Father, I just pray that you would make them pay the price sooner rather than later, because I know that ultimately they're going to pay the price. They're going to have to face you one of these days. They're going to have to face your son. And I just, there's some of them that could stand to face you right now. And I pray that that you would watch over those who are a part of Yahshua's church globally, because I know that they're being persecuted all around. And now we're feeling this persecution personally, and the passion is rising because it's tough to face tyranny and not react to it. And sometimes that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. They're looking for us to react. They're going to push us until we do react. And, Father, I want my reaction to be guided by you. So I pray for my brother Mike. I pray for the message we bring forward tonight. I pray for our listeners. But I, again, Father, I pray that these liars, these deceivers, these people who are exercising authority and power that they really do not have and should not have. And I pray the people will take a stand. And I just want us to keep our eyes on you, Father, and on your son, because we know that that's the way to be sustained eternally. So we invite your spirit here with us tonight. It's in the name of your Son, our Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, there you go, Mike. That's the best I could do.
It sounded good to me, Gary.
I know that you've talked about, you know, nobody talking about this taxonomy. Well, that you could go a lot of places with that, and I'm really curious to see where you take us with it, Mike. So I'll sit back for a bit and let you go with this and tell us what you know about this taxonomy.
Well, I took a look at quite a few places, Terry, and there are quite a few states that are well beyond broke, and California being one, and, you know, just one of many. But California, from some of the estimates that I've seen, California may be $1 trillion in debt. And also saw some reports coming out of the city of Chicago. And the city of Chicago is trying to make up a tax shortage that was brought on by this COVID. And the mayor and the city council of Chicago said they were going to have to increase property taxes somewhere in the neighborhood of 27% to 29% to make up for the tax shortfall. The other thing I've noticed while traveling recently is an absolute saturation of police on state highways stopping people for speeding. I saw a couple of days ago, just south of Atlanta, I saw 7 cops with trucks pulled over in a 1.5-mile distance. there's many other cities and states that are seeing this, and it also made me think back to last fall, and I do believe that this was a plandemic. It's been planned for quite some time. I know they did a practice run in 2017. So the thing that I started looking at was legislation. And the United States Senate last fall put forth a new tax bill, and it's called Wealth as Wages. And Terry, what we're going to see coming here, and I, you know, we've got this, we're trying to move to a cashless society, and they're going to do that. No, you can't get change here. You can't get change there. Some places are now putting up signs, credit cards or debit cards only. So this is a coming push. But in that Senate legislation that passed last fall with the wealth as wages thing, what I foresee with that is they're going to tax everything you own. There's going to be a property tax on everything you own as an individual, from a toaster oven to whatever. They're going to put a tax on that. And they're also, and I see this coming, because there's $28 trillion sitting in IRAs and 401ks in this country. And prior to this COVID-19 mess, a great many of the retirement systems in this country were broke. Chicago Teachers Union being a great example, and a lot of other civil places were beyond broke. And the Colorado system, which my wife is a part of, it is also beyond broke in their retirement issues, because these things, they invested in a stock market that was all fake. The profits were fake. It was all due to quantitative easing. And this thing is going to come, like, as I described it, a tsunami, and it's going to come all of a sudden, and people are basically going to be taxed out of existence as far as any wealth or any personal belongings whatsoever. We're going to have the complete socialization of this country, and everything, all means of production and everything else, is going to be in the hands of the state. I foresee quite a few other tax issues coming. They've got to pay this stuff somehow. And how else can they do it? Cities, municipalities, states have lost just vast amounts of tax revenue, Terry, because of this. Sales tax revenues are down incredibly in a lot of cities and a lot of various county jurisdictions. So government is not going to cut what they call services, and they're not going to say, hey, you know, we know we can't tax you guys because you don't have anything, so we're going to just try another system. The taxes are going to become enormous, and it's coming, and it's going to come within the next 30 to 60 days. I totally believe that.
Well, you know, if you look at any articles out there right now regarding a tax tsunami, they're talking about July 15th, which was yesterday.
Right.
Because we had this delay from April 15th to July 15th. But that delay not only didn't help, it probably hurt, because people and businesses would have been probably better to afford to pay those taxes on April 15th than they are on July 15th this year.
Well,
they haven't done away with any tax. They just said, okay, you don't have to pay it or report on it for 90 days. But now that it's coming to roost, it's coming to roost at a worse time than if they hadn't delayed it at all.
Well, I think that was the plan from the beginning, Terry. They knew what they were doing. This plan is really coming together for them, as I look at it, because, you know, they had these governors that they really hit in the beginning about all the shutdowns and everything they did. Newsom in California, the governor of Minnesota, all of these people were doing these things. And so they caught the Dickens, while a lot of other governors sat back and were kind of you know, just especially Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas. He was, everybody thought, well, hey, he's doing a pretty good job. He's being mediocre on this thing. He's not really pushing this. He's not really pushing that. And then today, the governor of Alabama and comes out and says, hey, here we are. We're going to do 100% indoors and outdoors. Anywhere in the public, you will wear a mask. So, and he claimed it by an executive order. So we're in for it, Terry. This is just the beginning. It's going to fit right in with this cashless society. You know, now they're claiming that they can't take money anymore, cash money anymore, because it's probably infected with COVID-19. How absolutely wonderful for them.
Well, a lot of the major chains have already announced they're going, just like you said, on the deal, debit card only, credit card only, whatever. And I heard that Taco Bell had just come out with that. I mean, it's no loss for me. I won't, you know, I can certainly do without Taco Bell, but the point is, that's just a start. I mean, it's going to be, if you hit all your major chains do it, then the banks are going to change, and nobody will be able to go against what the banks want if they want liquidity. That's the reason we needed, a long time ago, sound money and a competing parallel, you know, system, so that we don't have to deal with these people.
Well, did you perchance see where Biden and his advisors went after Bitcoin?
I did hear that. I haven't really looked into it.
Well, I just saw a basically surface, but I knew that was coming too. You know, they're really criticizing anything to do with this blockchain technology.
Well, that's idiocy, because it's just like the banks. The banks started out criticizing it, and then they got in the game themselves, and now they are, you know, they're all trying to develop their own if they haven't already. Blockchain is here to stay. They can anybody that criticizes blockchain at this point is pretty foolish, because it's not going anywhere. As a matter of fact, it's probably what they're going to turn to, but they have to denigrate the independent, digital currency has really come into its own through high-tech people who are freedom-loving people who wanted to be able to operate outside of the system. And the people who are really into digital currency, they don't want it controlled by the government or the banks or anybody else. They want it to be independent. So, you know, if you'll look at what's happening right now, they are going after all of the people who are independent and freedom-loving people. First and foremost, the attack is on people who live free.
Well,
so
they're going to denigrate
it until they can control it.
Well, we have to be shut up. The people who stand for true liberty and freedom, they have to be shut up, and we have to be shut up. And the best way they can do that is to get our fellow man to demonize us, Terry, for standing for freedom. Then the government doesn't look like the bad guy, just like the mask issue. If you can get everybody in a place of business to give you the dickens because you're not wearing a mask and to say you're endangering everybody, they are doing the government's work, and that's what they have planned from the very beginning. These people aren't dummies. They knew what would happen. They have seen it happen before. They have done this in increments in various places with different things, and now it's coming to a culmination. I've told people since March, enjoy today because this is the best day you're going to have for quite some time, because it's going to get gradually worse. And that, I believe, is exactly what's going to happen. It's going to get gradually worse every day in this country as they come at us with more and more and more stuff. And they're well on their way. They've got a good, I did not stop today in Alabama. I was traveling, did not stop in Alabama because their law came into effect at, or the governor's wishes came into effect at 5 p.m. So I just didn't stop there, and I waited until I got to Georgia. And so I'm waiting to see what Georgia does. And I'm anticipating all states to do a follow-up on this. They're never going to do a blanket thing and tell everybody at one time, hey, you got to do this. They like to do all of this stuff incrementally and then let it sink in mentally to the people, and then they'll hit a 24-hour news broadcast with it, and they'll start showing all of the negative effects of the crazy people who don't wear their masks. And that's just part of it. And then they'll start demonizing, like, Bitcoin. Then they'll start demonizing the people who aren't, you know, who don't want to do what the government says is best for everybody. So it is an incrementalized form of just abject tyranny, and it's on us, and it will get worse every day, I promise.
Well, that's pretty scary. I sure don't like to be a naysayer or somebody who's a, you know, a fearmonger, but I think at this point you got to be realistic, and I think what you're saying is realistic.
Well, I've seen these things. I saw the U.S. government do this to overthrow other governments. And when it was happening and the way they went about it, I can remember 30 years ago asking myself, when will they do this in their own country? I didn't realize it would be a virus. I'm not even going to go there and even pretend that I thought it would be a virus. I thought they would use something, but it's not what they use, it's the strategy they use. And they can use anything they want to scare people and to really bother people. The thing of it is in this time frame, ask everybody else why COVID-19 is running crazy with all the news reports. Where are all of these terrorist countries that are trying to destroy us? Why is the news not reporting on those anymore? Why aren't we saying that Syria is trying to do this and China's trying? Well, we do say China, but we've used China as the bad guy when the bad guy's our own government. But it's easy. You can get an American to hate the Chinese, people they don't know, to absolve their own government from any wrongdoing. And it's classic. This has been going on for hundreds of years, and it keeps working. And as Dandy Don Meredith used to say, you got to dance with who brung you, and the government is dancing with who brung them, and they know exactly how to play this on almost everybody out there. They continue to do it. The thing of it, and they prepare people mentally, Terry. People watch, everybody's on the TV to watch TV for a 24-hour cycle, and I hadn't watched TV in a long time, and just flipped it on last night and watched about 5 minutes of news, and my stomach couldn't take it anymore. Because you can see the propaganda machine at work as you're watching what they're telling you on TV. And so the lobotomy box is doing its job. Everybody is being mentally conditioned for what's coming next. And it is sad, Terry. I hate to be a fearmonger too, but I think we have to be realists. And if people don't want to believe what the government's about to do, then they deserve every damn thing that happens. Just my opinion.
Well, if you're looking at digital currency, for example, or you're looking at silver, or you're looking at gold, they did the same thing with digital currency last year, a little over a year ago. When they opened up, when the SEC allowed them to have a futures market, which basically allowed digital currency to be sold or shorted by way of paper. And they drove the price all the way down on Bitcoin, all the way down to about 3,000. And the overall digital market, the whole capitalization of the digital market, was as high at one point of about 750 billion, and now when it was down at 3,000, I think it got down all the way down to 170 billion, and right now it's back up to like 275 billion. but Bitcoin is a larger percentage of that total market than it was before. Before it was like about 50%. Now it's up around 62-63%. So they've really driven the price down on all of what's called altcoins. They did the same thing to silver. They had silver all the way down around $12. And now it's up over, it almost hit 1950 here. And it's right around 1910 or something like that right now. Let me go back to that. Gold is right at 1800. It's 1798.70. And they had driven it, they had held it down artificially. But they're not really able to control those markets. Bitcoin right now is like around 9,300. So it's back from the 3,000 where they drove it down. It's up over three times that amount now. They've played their games, and also I understand that J.P. Morgan, for the first time in known recent history, is long on silver. They had been shorting silver for a long time. I mean, several decades they had been controlling that market, and they had been shorting. But now they are long on silver, which means that's really changed. That's a huge, huge change. Just to bring out a few facts for the people, and I don't know if you knew all of what I just said or were aware of it, but I thought it was important to mention.
Right. Well, yeah, I was just looking. I went back and was looking at the spot prices, and it says, like you said, gold $1,799.94, but that's with almost a $14 drop today. And, of course, silver is 1929, and that was with an 18-cent drop. So,
but every time they push it down, it goes right back up and goes up higher than it was before. So those drops are you can see those drops at any time you look at a three-day window on the market. But if you look overall, the trend is definitely upward.
Oh, absolutely, and it will be, because I remember last time I was able to purchase some gold, I got some of those old, I love those $20 gold pieces from days gone by. I love the history of them. And, Terry, the last of those I bought were like a little over $1,200. So now they're at almost 19, so or working upwards of 18. So, yeah, and silver, I think the last silver I got was somewhere in the 13 to 14 cent range. So yes, it's
well, Mike, I'm sure you're aware that the market prices that we're looking at, like on Kitco or whatever reporting group you're looking at, those prices are not real prices. If you tried
right.
to go buy an ounce of silver today, you're looking at upwards of $25. So that $18,
right.
that $19 price is, you can't go buy it for that. You're gonna pay at least $25-$26 for silver today, and gold I think is up around $2,500 if you're really trying to buy physical gold. So the people
right.
who have it are not willing to sell it for what prices that they're quoting.
Absolutely. So there are so many things coming with this, with all of this money, financial situation, because, and I truly believe we have this COVID-19 pandemic because the whole bottom was about to fall out of the financial market and there was no other way for them to control it.
Except cut demand. There's been a couple of different people. I think it was Jim Willey, who's the other guy that works with Bill Holter that's been around forever and is one of the smartest guys on the face of the earth financially. Jim, I never can remember his last name. It just drives me crazy. But he basically said that the markets would have crashed much worse had the pandemic not hit, because the demand for currency was out the roof, and there would have been a failure to deliver and it would have crashed everything worse than it's crashed as a result of the pandemic, because it cut demand for currency.
Exactly. And that's maybe difficult
for some people to grasp.
True. And here was the other thing when I was looking at this financial stuff, Terry. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Another thing I was looking, Terry, is just look south of Colorado. Have you seen how much money that the state of New Mexico has lost in oil revenues?
No.
It's over $1 billion they've lost since March in oil revenues. The state of New Mexico is going to have to make that up somehow. And, of course, Colorado, being an oil and gas producer, they've lost quite a bit of money as well. So these places that depended on the oil revenue, and I know that in the county I was in Montezuma in Colorado, they were an awful lot, almost 50% of the county revenues came through oil and gas. So these counties, all of these places and states, you know, think about New Mexico. New Mexico, according to the figures I saw, took the biggest hit in oil and gas tax revenues. And again, it was like $1.2 billion. Well, a state cannot afford to lose $1.2 billion in a span of 4 months, Terry. They're going to have to recover that somehow. So how are they going to do it? And any way they try to do it, it's got to be drastic, because you've got so many people out of work. You've got so many businesses that are hurting. How else are they going to recoup that money?
Well, one of the ways that they try to do it is they inflate their way out of it, so that the money, the debt figure is kind of frozen at the today's value of the currency, and by deflating the purchasing power, they inflate the cost of things. It basically reduces the price of the currency that is necessary to retire the debt. Now that creates a Zimbabwe or Venezuela kind of environment, where you see them diluting the currency it's vertical on a graph, and we're already
right
there. That's happening. You look at them zeroing out the reserve requirement of the banks. That basically gives the banks the unlimited ability to monetize debt.
Absolutely.
So, basically the paper you got in your billfold or your bank account is disappearing. Purchasing value is disappearing. I've been watching that food prices have been escalating all across the United States and the globe. And I think we're just beginning to see the results of that. You said it's going to get worse. And I think that's one of the ways that people are really going to feel it.
Well, absolutely. And food is the number one thing they're going to hit us with. And like you said, the price just keeps escalating. And if you really look at it economically, those price increases are not justified. If it were a free market, those price increases are not justified.
And, they've got people thinking that a reset is a good thing. And that's another way they'll approach it. When they can't inflate their way out of it anymore, they're going to have to reset things. And the common man is not going to be relieved of his debt, but you can bet that the uncommon people, those that perceive themselves to be the well-to-do, are going to benefit from that reset much more, or maybe totally more, than the common man.
Well, that's the whole end game, is to make sure that happens. I promise you. And so that's the way it's coming along, and they're doing it intentionally with all of their massive planning. And I would be willing to bet you that we are sitting right now, and they have a plan probably, I would say, at least a year in advance of how they're going to do this. And somewhere in the neighborhood coming very soon is going to be a mandatory vaccine. And without that vaccine, you will not be allowed to buy or sell on the open market in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And you will probably, your travel will be restricted if you don't have that vaccination card. And, you know, and who knows what's going to be in the vaccination.
Well, and that's probably, I don't want to say too much. I guess I'm just going to say it and take the risk on it. But that's one of the reasons why they are trying to denigrate and shut down any discussion of chlorine dioxide.
Oh, definitely.
Because chlorine dioxide will kill much of the bio crap that they put in these vaccines. If you take a solution of chlorine dioxide right after you get one of those vaccines, all of the anaerobic material that's in that vaccine will be dead on arrival.
And it also negates
the need for most big pharma symptom control medicine.
Right. Terry, it's, you know, we're living in very, very interesting times. Nothing that I would have wanted, but the more I see people just acquiesce, you know, it would, you know, I had kind of a thought today. What would they do if everyone in unison took off their mask, threw them on the ground, and walked away? Because that would indicate, I said, what would happen in this country if on, like, everyone coordinated, kind of like V for Vendetta, what if all of a sudden everybody just took their mask off, threw it down, and said, we're not playing? What would the government have to do if the people ceased to be compliant?
Well, that's kind of been happening in my county. That's kind of been happening in my county.
Well, I tell you what, then that is a wonderful thought. My son's telling me the same thing's happening in Will County. But all across the country, I mean, everywhere I look, there are more and more and more people wearing masks. There's not less. I mean, we've
got people carrying masks.
We've got people wearing masks. Go ahead.
It's going to become the symbol for those people that they want to target.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. If you want to know who truly stands for freedom, look at the person that says, no, I'm not wearing a mask. So you might as well put a big circle on your back. And I'm going to make a prediction, and I'll tell you what. If BLM and Antifa came after the people who wouldn't wear masks violently, the majority of the people in this country would cheer them on.
I missed the last two words.
I said if the Antifa and BLM started attacking people violently who refused to wear a mask, the majority of the people in this country would cheer them on.
They would put them on?
Them on.
Okay.
They would cheer Antifa and BLM for attacking people who won't wear a mask. They would become BLM and Antifa supporters.
At what point does the Tree of Liberty get watered here?
I'm not really sure. You know, the thing that always happens in history is there is the tripwire is something no one planned on. And I'm just wondering at what point the powers that be see this working and believe it's working so well that there's nothing that can stop them, and that in itself provokes a reaction. That's kind of my pipe dream, I know. But that's the thing I'm hoping for, is that somewhere, somehow, I mean, we know right now that people are wearing a mask to protect them from something that has a 99.95% survival rate, which absolutely is asinine that people would wear a mask to protect themselves from something that inert, basically. And if I can find it, because I'm in Georgia now, I personally look at the statistics coming out of Georgia because, you know, when Georgia was one of the first ones to stop the shutdown or the close down and started opening things up, and Atlantic Magazine came out and said, you know, told that the governor was trying to kill people and it would be a mass, basically almost a mass genocide in Georgia. And the exact opposite has happened. And I'm just waiting to see how they actually deal with that.
Well, I know that Keynesian economics is insanity. It's completely contralogical. It doesn't make any sense. It has always failed ultimately. And if they increase taxes, if we do have this taxonomy in the way that you've explained it coming because of town budgets, municipality budgets, county budgets, state budgets being upside down, all they will do is exacerbate the problem. It will create a worse condition than they already have, because that, in essence, is an attempt to solve the problem by means of a Keynesian approach. We saw what happened in the economy when Trump cut taxes and the Congress and Senate cut taxes. It increased the revenue. It increased the gross national product because more money was available for private industry to create jobs and to increase the amount of money, I think it's called acceleration of money, actually. It's a movement of money increases when taxes are decreased. So when they increase the taxes, it's going to have just the opposite effect. It's going to decrease the revenues because the overall economy will be suffering from it, and the money will be taken out of private industry, and the jobs will be lost.
Terry, I found these statistics for Georgia, and I would like to read them because I think they're extremely interesting, and people should be paying a lot of attention to this. Georgia was claimed by many to have opened too early back when Georgia started letting people go into restaurants and do other stuff. And, of course, as I mentioned, the Atlantic Magazine said that what the Georgia governor was doing was an experiment in human sacrifice. And so here, let's look at some statistics, and these come from the State Health Department of the state of Georgia. So I'm using government's own figures in Georgia. And it says COVID deaths in Georgia the week before April 27th, when was the opening happened on April 27th, the COVID deaths the week before was 235. And COVID deaths the week of May the 27th, 1 month after April 27th, which allows for the lag time between infection and death, COVID deaths in Georgia over the past 7 days, and according to the Georgia Health Department, is 139. In spite of the claimed spike in the number of diagnoses, it's dropped by almost 100. And then, so then we have Georgia had around 2,900 COVID-19 deaths to date and sits at 98% of their total death average of 2017 to 2019, and is less than the expected deaths before COVID-19 came along. And let's look at the deaths of corona and compare that with some other states. Georgia has 276. The U.S. overall had 409. And of course, here we go with New York, had 1,663. I'm sorry about that, U.S. overall. Forget that figure. Georgia had 276. New York had 1,663. Louisiana had 723. Michigan had 628. While Georgia has, like I said, 276. Now, here's the something that is extremely significant. 45% of all the Georgia deaths from COVID-19 came from long-term elder care facilities. 770 of those Georgia deaths were for people 85 years old and older. And even the Imperial College model predicted the 50 to 60% of COVID-19 deaths would have occurred within 2020 anyway. For those under 50 years of age in the state of Georgia, there have been 67,000 cases reported with only 176 deaths. Again, when we look at this, when the media started hitting the skyrocketing number of cases showing up everywhere, it started on June 10th. And according to all of this, the rate skyrocketed across 11 different states. So Georgia, since June 10th, cases are up 286%, tests are up 66%, while deaths are down 58%. So how does this even make sense?
Well, it doesn't. It's all hype. I mean, they can't even hype the numbers enough to actually make it as bad as flu.
That is the reason I went into this, looking at Georgia's own numbers, and I especially thought I would look at Georgia because Georgia was the first state to quote-unquote open up. And again, they all kind of things were predicted that you know, the people would be falling over in the streets. Well, that hasn't happened. So with these kind of figures, where is the justification for the state of Alabama and the state of Arkansas and the state of Colorado to say everybody has to wear a mask? Georgia hasn't been wearing them, and their deaths went down. It's not mandated in Georgia. So how do you get Bubus Americanus to actually look at official figures instead of embracing everything emotionally? And they have conditioned the population to where they don't think logically. They always think emotionally. So you tell people, oh, my goodness, everybody's going to die, and they all stick their heads in the sand.
Well, when you got hospitals getting $30,000 more dollars to claim that somebody died of COVID death, I mean, the bribery is just blatant. You know, how do you get these hospitals to stop reporting falsely that people died from COVID? I mean, because I'm not even sure there's been a single death where they died from COVID.
Well, they admitted, someone admitted this past week, that regardless of basically the cause of death, if there was COVID-19 apparent in the in any test, if you got hit by a car, and you happen to have a COVID-19 virus, your death is listed as COVID-19 and not a traffic accident.
Well, that was a CDC official, wasn't it?
Yes, they actually admitted this. And they said, you know, regardless, if you have the if you test positive. Well, Terry, there was a case in Montezuma County in Colorado that definitely fits this paradigm. they had a guy that was found dead in the park, a homeless person, who had a blood alcohol content of 0.43. And the coroner in Montezuma County said, well, it's an alcohol poisoning. Obviously, all the evidence was in. It's alcohol poisoning. And the state of Colorado changed it to a COVID-19 death because they said they found COVID-19 in his tissue.
Well, that's a lie. They haven't found COVID-19 in anybody's tissue because the test they do for that does not isolate a virus.
Well,
it only isolates an RNA, a genetic material, that happened to be observed in some of the people who initially died from the symptoms that they're claiming was caused by COVID, originally in Wuhan. That's where this test originated. They don't isolate a virus in it. That's a pure lie.
Right. But why did they use Wuhan?
Well, it's been used for a number of different things and over time, and it's kind of a repeat.
Oh, there's a big reason they chose Wuhan, Terry. Wuhan, China, has the worst air pollution factors of any city on the planet. This is a respiratory disease. People's respiratory systems were already highly weakened by the air pollution in Wuhan. What a perfect place to use for to start your pandemic.
Well, that's very interesting. You're the first person I've heard say that.
Well, I promise you I didn't make it up.
Well, I'm sure you didn't. I'm sure you didn't.
Can go into the air pollution testing in various places on the planet, and if you go into the statistics, you'll find Wuhan right at the top.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. It also makes a lot of sense why 5G would have a greater effect there as well.
Well, that was the combination because they had 5G and they already had weakened systems, weakened respiratory systems from air pollution, so they had the perfect storm. That's why
we
have
the pictures. Have you gotten any indication of how many people really died in Wuhan?
No, I don't have any solid statistics, any solid numbers, because they would come out of a government somewhere and they can't be believed. Anything government says is a lie.
Well, I'm hearing from sources who have sources in China that there may have been upward of 700,000 people that died.
Well,
and they weren't saying that they died from some virus. They were saying that there was some kind of crisis, some kind of catastrophe, some kind of incident that happened there that has been covered up, that there was a lot more people that died than they're saying. I mean, I'm sure you heard the statistics that something like 2 million cell phones were shut off, the bills weren't paid.
Right, I saw those numbers. But again, Terry, I find myself, any statistic that comes out of a government or a government-sponsored agency has to be considered suspect from the get-go.
Why would that number have come out?
Well, I'm sure someone picked it somewhere, Terry, but stop and think about it. Governments have never gotten bigger by telling the truth.
And do you have any kind of grasp on the controversy regarding the Hong Kong dollar?
No, I'll have to plead ignorant on that one, Terry.
Well, I'll do some research on it and find out more about it, but I heard some things being discussed on that today that that was rather shocking. It sounds like the United States has been substantially ripped off as a result of their treatment with the Hong Kong dollar, because they've now declared Hong Kong to be part of the mainland and are forcing the use of the RMB, or whatever you call their RMB Chinese dollar.
Right.
Well, what more have you got on this tax tsunami, my friend?
Well, I just see that they are going to come at us in every possible way. I see tax increases on everything we touch. I believe that they're going to, at some point in time, because these huge losses in tax revenue and the fact that the price of gasoline is down since quite a bit, in most cases since before the tsunami, I look at them rationalizing to everyone a dramatic increase in gasoline taxes. And they'll say, look, we had to bring these taxes up, and you won't be paying any more than you did before the COVID-19 started. So they're going to come at every possible angle. I've already heard from some sources, and I can't substantiate that. Let me say this in the beginning, that cities and various jurisdictions are taking their police off of homicide and robbery investigations and putting them on traffic in order to increase revenue, because solving a murder doesn't pay them any money.
Yeah, I could see that happening. It kind of went through that sort of thing crossed my mind. If they are trying to get more funding, they're going to go after statutory non-injury type statute to enforce them, so that they can. It's another form of tax. I mean, let's face it. Whenever they find somebody when there's no injury to another person, it's a form of tax.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, trying to get people to acknowledge, and I had this discussion with some folks on Monday evening at dinner, and I asked them to, and these were intelligent people, otherwise intelligent people, and I said, all right, what do you have to constitute a crime? And the crowd was basically, at least the people at dinner were stymied, and I said, don't you have to have a victim for there to be a crime? And so one person says, well, the state is the victim. And I said, okay, if a person is speeding and they're caught for doing 70 and a 65, state harmed. And, of course, then the consensus comes out from this group of people. They said, well, it was preventative in nature. Those fines are preventative. And I said, have you got any idea about the floodgates you open when you allow government to penalize people for what they might do? The thing I've noticed, Terry, as I travel around, I talk to people, the thing I have noticed is that common sense is just flat gone.
Well, therein lies a major problem.
Well,
They've been working on the people in a number of different ways for my entire life. Everything from fluoride in the water, aluminum in the skies, changing the education system, dumbing down people, the whole PC movement. And now cutting their oxygen supply. It's been a frog in the pot for a long time.
Right, but when you tried to tell people, you were called a conspiracy nut. You were called, a fearmonger. Look at all the labels they used on anyone who tried to tell people, "Hey, this is coming. It's incremental. they are eventually going to clamp down, and you will have zero freedom and zero property. And people just laughed at you and went the other way. And many of them said, you know, I don't even want to listen to this. And I know that, Terry, because I've been doing this for 30 years, buddy.
Well, people, you know, let's just look at soy for a second. Look at soy. We were fed the lie that soy was a major source of protein for the Asian population. It turns out that the Asians never consumed more than about 3% of their protein from soy. The only group was a group of Japanese monks that did consume more soy than that, and they did so because they found that it cuts their sex drive. Soy is high in phytoestrogen.
Right.
It brings on prostate cancer in men. It brings on breast cancer in women. And it makes little boys like little girls. So this is what has been put into almost all of the processed foods. For just to mention one other little way that they have been boiling the frog in the pot for a long, long time.
Which goes back to my premise, my original premise, if the government says something, it's a lie. If the people in this country would just accept that fact, that once this, if the government is telling you something, if it's on TV, head, telling you something on CNN, Fox, or whatever news media you watch for 24 hours a day, if they're telling you something, it's usually a lie. Usually it's probably got a 98 percentile rate of being a lie. And we go back to what William Casey said in 1981. We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is a lie. It's in the planning, Terry. And, you know, that I go back to that meeting that I remember in the early 80s where this very prominent person said, hell, we can even tell the people what we're going to do, and they're too damn dumb to figure it out. That was in the 80s.
Well, I'll tell you what, we may have started a few minutes late here, but that first hour went really fast.
Wow. I just looked at the time. Definitely, that's for sure.
Well, how do we want to close this out today?
Terry, I don't know what to say. As long as the people are content believing the government is telling them the truth, we're pretty well toast. And I am seeing more people, even the people that I saw 2 months ago, who were saying this was a farce and they didn't believe it. I see those people wearing masks now. So I don't think we're making all those gains. I think we're losing ground. And, man, it kills me to say that, and I so wish I was wrong. But I don't see an increase in the number of people who are willing to fight this thing.
Well, now their employers are enforcing it on them.
Exactly.
You know, it becomes a threat to livelihood. It becomes a threat to marital relationships. It becomes a threat to families and households. If you don't follow these tyrannical rules, you could lose your home and your family and your relationship. That's where it's come down to. It's been that way with the IRS for a long time, but now it's even more at the kitchen table than it's ever been.
Well, you look at that, Terry, you brought up an interesting fact. Have you looked at the foreclosure rates lately?
I'm sorry, the what?
The foreclosure rates.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I haven't looked at the actual figures, but I've been looking at just checking various sources, and they are talking about how many mortgage payments, percentage of mortgage payments weren't paid in various states last month? How many haven't been paid in 2 months? And, you know, and at 3 months, you go into foreclosure, usually. So how far are we from another epidemic of foreclosures? And this, not subprime, these are going to be people that just flat lost their job.
Well, the extra $600 a month for the those that staying out of work is gone away.
Yeah, and that's I think the timing on that was planned as well. I think they planned. They need to ease people into this stuff because people will revolt if you hit them with a full jab in the mouth. But if you just keep the easy incrementalism to the point, the boiling of the frog analogy you used earlier is a perfect one.
And if they do another stimulus package, it's coming out of everybody's pocket because it is decreasing the purchasing power of the money that you already have. It's not helping people. It's not helping people. It's just increasing everybody's debt and decreasing the purchasing power of what they have. So their wages are not going up, and they can't because the businesses are struggling already. You can't go up on wages. So if that wage only buys half of what it used to buy, which is where it's going quickly, That's what the stimulus does. It dilutes the purchasing power of your currency. And if your wage doesn't go up to match it, you're history.
Well, there's another thing here, too, that that I think is very significant, and that's the fact that they now admit, the IRS admits, that $1.2 billion in stimulus money went to dead people. And they have so stipulated that they are not going to take any measures to try to recover it. It would be very interesting to find out who those dead people were that got all this money, because I guarantee you, knowing how government operates, that was a payoff to somebody.
Mike, I agree that it would be good to follow the money and see the crime and see somebody punished for it, but so far we got $40 trillion out there unaccounted for in the federal budget right now, and nobody seems to care about that.
Well,
so, I mean, $1 billion on a payoff, I mean, it's just like a small bribe, isn't it?
Well, that is true, but I tell you what, the people who got the $1.2 billion are not fretting the issue.
I suspect that number is small. I think that number is much bigger than that. I think that, you know, again, that they're trying to, that's almost an attempt to normalize the fact that a little bit of it disappeared.
Right, and you're exactly right. Go back to the 2008-2010 during that time frame and look at the amount of money that allegedly went into that stimulus package back then, that what was $900 billion, which was actually over a trillion, and look at go back and trace that now because the figures are available, and look who got the majority of that money. It was political cronies. It was cronyism. That was a big bailout where the money went to people in the political end. I liken that. That was very much like the assumption that we've talked about that took place after the Constitution went into effect in 1789. There was a huge payoff for all of the political cronies. We're just doing the same thing now. We just use a different game.
Well, here's a marching order for everybody. To the extent that you are able, take that mask off and tell them to shove it. It's time that we took a stand. It's time that we, I'm not asking anybody to get fired from their job. but to whatever extent you can, vocalize it. Let them know you're not happy about it. And if there's a protest going on against one of these pervert governors like we have here in Colorado, I'd say show up. We've got to be vocal local here. It's the only way any of this is going to turn around is if it ripples out from your local area. If you've got town council people or county commissioners who are willing to increase taxes into these situations, you need to recall them, you need to fire them, you need to do whatever you can to get them out of a position of power, and you need to let them know that you're not going to stand by and tolerate it. And I'm not sure how I'm going to approach things here in Colorado right now, but I know that I'm going to reach out to people who are willing to take a stand and do whatever I can.
Hey, Terry, my friend, can you go ahead and finish up for us? Where I'm sitting right now, I have a person who is in need of a little bit of assistance. Let me help them.
Well, we're ready to end the program anyway, Mike. We're at the end of the hour and a half time on the ball talk. So,
all right, thank you. I'm going to drop off here and see if I can help these folks.
All right, thank you. Thanks for getting back on here.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
All righty. We'll just say good night to everyone, and we'll see you next week. I'll be praying for all of you that are listening. Certainly a tough week. So I urge everyone to be in prayer. I think it's going to take some divine intervention for this to take a turn. So be well, be safe. And we'll see you next week. Good night, everyone.
Well, you soul-selling, no-good sons of a shoe-fitting fire starters. Ought to tell you no-good preambulatory bone frame and nail it to your government walls. All of you, you dadgum government, you sorry rat with ratchets. You got yourself an itch and you want scratch it, will you? Dadgum, dadgum, dadgum government. Uh-huh. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Hey, boy. Of a shoe-fitting fire starter. Ought to tell you no good preambulatory bone frame and nail it to your government walls. All of you, you dadgum government, you sorry so-and-sos. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes.